started to pick up his clothes.
"Where are you going?" she asked.
"Home. He told you to.
I... What is there here?"
She gave him a forlorn look over the white poncho, which was still clasped to her body.
"Me, your friend, your lover."
He shook his head. "I'm human. That's more than he is. Come on, leave." Darriet pulled on his shoes. He paused by the entrance flap. "It's Anstead," she said in a mournful tone. "That's who you really talk to. Pseudo-babble, ignore her." Darriet walked slowly out of the village. Some of the elders gave him strange looks as he passed their steaming cooking pits. They couldn't understand. Why would anyone leave Anastasia's bed? "That's their trouble, boy. They're too backward. The real world is beyond them. I really must get round to cleaning them out one day." Now Darriet knew what he was, what he was destined for. The didactic courses took on a whole new level of importance. He listened to Rubra's advice on the specializations he needed, the grades he had to achieve. He became obedient and a shade resentful at his own compliance. But what else was there? Starbridge? In return for acquiescence, Rubra taught him how to use the affinity bond with the habitat, how to access the sensitive cells to see what was going on, how he could call on vast amounts of processing power, the tremendous amount of stored data that was available. One of the first things Rubra did was to guide him through a list of possible replacement girls, eager to bury the lingering traces of yearning for Anastasia Rigel. Darriet felt like a voyeuristic ghost, watching the prospective candidates through the sensitive cells, seeing them at home, talking to their friends. Some of them he watched having sex with their boyfriends, two with other girls, which was exciting. Rubra didn't seem to object to these prolonged observations. At least he meant he didn't have to pay for Blue Sense Flex anymore. One girl he chanced on was nice, Chelone, 9 months older than him. As black as Anastasia, which was what first caught his attention, but with dark auburn hair, shy and pretty, who talked a lot about sex and boys with her girlfriends. Still, he hesitated from meeting her, even though he knew her daily routine, knew her interests, what to say, which day clubs she belonged to. He could contrive a dozen encounters. "Get on with it," Rubra told him after a week of cautious scrutiny. "Screw her brains out. You don't think Anastasia's still pining over you, do you?"
"What?"
"Try using the sensitive cells around the teepee." That was something he'd never done, not using the habitat's perception faculty to spy on her. But the tone Rubra used had a hint of cruel amusement to it. Anastasia had a lover, Merson Columba, another Starbridge, a man in his 40s, overweight, balding, with white, pallid skin. They looked horrible, locked together. Anastasia flinched silently as she lay underneath his pumping body. The old white-hot infantile fury rose into Darriot's mind. He wanted to save her from the repellent humiliation, his beautiful girl who had loved him. "Take my advice, go find young Chelone." Like juvenile Edenists, it hadn't taken Darriot long to discover how to fox a habitat's sensitive cells. Unless Rubra's principal personality pattern was concentrating on him in particular, the autonomous monitoring of the subroutines could be circumvented. Darriot used the sensitive cells to follow Merson Columba out of the teepee. The podgy oaf had a smug smile on his face as he made his way down to the stream. Anastasia Rigel was curled up on her rug, staring at nothing. Merson Columba made his way down the valley before stripping off his shirt and trousers. He splashed into a wide pool and began to wash off the smell and stains of sex. The first blow from Darriot's wooden cudgel caught him on the side of his head, tearing his ear. He grunted and dropped to his knees. The second blow smashed across the crown of his skull. "Stop it!" Darriot aimed another blow, laughing at the surprise on the man's face. "Nobody does that to my girl. Nobody does that to me." A cascade of blows rained down on Merson Columba's unprotected head. Rubra's furious demands were reduced to a wasp's buzz at the back of Darriot's raging mind. He was vengeance. He was omnipotent, more than any realm lord. He struck and struck, and it felt good. The water pushed at Mersin Columba's inert body. Long ribbons of blood wept from the battered head, turned to tattered curlicues by the current. Darrett stood over him.